I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
You heard the big voice guy. He said the best 5 hours of your life. We will attempt to do that between now and 7 o'clock. Mike Bell, what is going on in your world today, my man?
Hey, man. I think I'm going to be charging cover charge when I have pool parties this summer. I just priced out. You know, for those who follow the show, real quick, we'll get to the headlines and enough about us. But, you know, we got the condo closing next week. I've lived in Midtown for many years. And we thought we'd take that profits, you know, Carl, and, you know, pay off the credit cards, maybe, you know, put some money on a house in Florida. Nah. We've already got it spent. You told me this. My father-in-law told me this. My father-in-law sounds like Sergeant Hulka from Stripes. You don't own the house. The house owns you. Well, you know, he wasn't lying. But anyway, yes, as the process continues, as I've spent literally, Carl, hours today, do I go with gas or electric pool heaters? The things I'm living with. These are responsibilities I never wanted. Maybe I made a big mistake. I don't know. Let's find out.
Yeah, I you know, there's always the second guessing when you're going through the process. And I get it. I mean, you know, what the bottom line is, though, is are you happy?
Yes.
You're happy, right?
I mean, look at Ike. Ike's out here laying on his tummy over behind me.
That's all that matters.
Having a good time. What were you doing? Did Trinity drive a car today? How'd you got her license?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because is anybody working at Liberty Mutual? Is anybody manning the phones?
We got first world problems today to start the program.
Well, I got to ask the question. You know, and this goes back 2 weeks. What movie's that from, Mike?
Two weeks. The Money Pit.
Okay? And I was making calls. My wife's making calls because we were trying to think ahead and get ahead of the situation and say, hey, what's it going to take to get our daughter on our insurance? Blah, blah, blah. We need to write a policy. Blah, blah, blah. And we've talked to, and I'm not lying about this. You can see I'm a little upset. We've talked to 7 different people on the phone. We've gotten 3 different folks who knew what the hell they were talking about. And every time they say, well, just call us back and we'll be happy to help you. Didn't we get somebody who has no idea what the hell we're talking about? Mm. So last night, it was just a tipping point. And I don't know, you guys have been through this. It may not have been this situation, but where you're dealing with customer service and you're trying to get answers and nobody can answer your questions, or if they're answering them, it's always, well, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. Let me give you my email and my phone number. I'm going to give you my direct number so you can call me. And then you do it, and then they don't respond.
Because it was all BS. It's the Dukes and Bell Hour with our first segment of what really grinds our gears.
So right now, Mike, all right, if anybody at Liberty wants to write a Dukes policy for my daughter, hit me up. Can somebody call me back? That's where I am right now. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like spending 45 minutes on hold, and then you get someone who goes, I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. I don't see a record of you call. Are you serious?
Customer service. It's a dying art in this day and age. I got to be honest with you. But hey, man, hopefully you guys are having a decent day. It's kind of a dreary, rainy, bleh, cold day. And yeah, man, it's just, you know, I feel like Ralph Cramden, like from The Honeymooners. Like, I had this fortune in my mind, which is evaporating by the minute. You know, I had like, it's like, woohoo. Yeah. What do you mean that? Okay. Realtors Commission, IRS, government. What? Yes.
Oh, it's gone, bro.
I literally feel like Ralph Cramden. I had all these dreams of the things I was going to pull off with this, with selling the condo. Anyway, that's how our day is going. You can follow us on Twitch. Go to Twitch and just punch up 92.9 The Game, and you can comment on the side and see if your day is going any better, if you've had to deal with customer service like Carl and I have today. But yeah, I think the thing is shopping around. I don't like to shop around. I just like to go make one impulsive move. But Carl, today, that's what I've been doing, window shopping all day, man.
You got to do it, though, Mike. You have to do it with any big purchase. You know, it's just like the Falcons. You got to interview all the candidates, and you got to do your due diligence. I got to add one more thing to this. Because this is hit the tipping point. So, you know, we had the house fixed last year with the damage that happened, right? That was out of our control.
You came home and your bathroom was in your kitchen.
Yeah. You see my air quotes, right? Out of our control, right? So we get the letter today that, you know, the insurance, blah, 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 the escrow, which you're about to deal with, blah, blah, blah. Oh, your house payment's about to go up. Not a little bit, a whole lot. And so I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? So what do you do as a consumer? The first thing you do is, well, I'll just switch insurances. No, you can't do that either. So here's, I am just like on edge because first, can I get some help with this issue? And then here's the other issue that's out there. And by the way, that's going to get resolved. But you get that in the mail and you're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? So I will simply say this. Can somebody help me?
So now look, I got an insurance guy. I've never even met this dude. We don't get that junk mail. I got junk mail one day, and I looked at the guy. Like, it was actually a girl at the time. I go, she looks like she knows what she's doing. So I literally took the thing, told the number, and she's been in my insurance person. I've
she
never
looks
met the
like
woman.
She knows what she's
and then
doing.
And she bought out by somebody else. And the other guys, Mr., his son, the Ropers. I've never even met these people, and we just communicate, and everything gets, you know, I think it's farmers. I'm not even sure, but I don't know. I don't even know. That's this is why this is a new world to me, to actually pay attention to this stuff. Hey, by the way, we have breaking news. If you're an Eagles fan, we have many Eagles fans living among us. Apparently, the Eagles, Carl, are going to hire the Colts offensive coordinator, I guess, works for Frank Reich, which makes sense, to replace Doug Peterson. Okay. Adam Schefter report, I believe his name is Sirianni, is going to be heading out there to Philly to take over. That didn't take so long, did it?
So that leaves one job for Eric Bieniemy.
Isn't that crazy? And maybe it's the Houston job. I don't know. Maybe it's the Texans.
It leaves one job. And the craziness is, and I did this the other day when I put out a Duke's dump, and this just is a whole different conversation, which we can get into later.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL needs to change the rules. And not because I'm an Eric Bieniemy fan, but what you've seen over the last few hiring cycles is some coaches having advantages because their teams lost. And they get an opportunity to talk to these teams and get hired. Meanwhile, coaches who are having success get penalized because even though they're being interviewed, they can't be hired until after their teams are done.
Right.
You have to be on an even playing field. And I say this because I think the NFL needs to look at this. Mike, I don't know if it would hurt teams or not, but push this back to after the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. All these interviews, all these hirings, push it back. Nobody can do anything until the Super Bowl is done. That way, all these coaches who we think deserve jobs or are interested or teams are interested, they get a chance to really maneuver that after the Super Bowl. But the way the rules are set up, some people said Bieniemy's being punished because his team's good. And, yeah, he's doing the interviews, but they know they can't hire him. So they're going, well, we're going to go with this other guy.
And people want to get moving, you know, a sense of urgency, and you want to have your plan. I mean, I understand all of that.
You believe that? I'm sorry, my phone just rang. I wonder if that was my insurance guy.
So, again, we will continue to shame people in the service industry. Nick Sirianni, by the way, getting the Eagles' offensive coordinator job.
But you feel me on this?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I don't want it to make it a racial thing. But, I mean, I wanted Bieniemy, I mean, because it's a name I've heard for a couple of years. I think that, you know, guys, now that Peterson flamed out in Philly, and that was over a bad quarterback, but Peterson was a guy off the tree and got a Super Bowl in a city which had never won one. So, I don't know. I mean, the younger trend is Nick Sirianni is another younger, relatively younger guy, that it seems to be the thing. And again, if you're not coaching offense, you don't really get a shot. I think Robert Saleh, we've talked, a couple guys have gotten, I think what the Chargers guy was a Rams defensive coordinator, but still it does help to be on the offensive side because owners want their expensive franchise quarterbacks to really do the job they were hired to do.
Speaking of the Falcons, and we got a lot to talk about today, all right? We will get to an incredible comeback last night. I was so frustrated with the way the Hawks were playing.
Mm.
And to literally go, they don't lose this game. And to see them come back and make the push they did and to win in overtime We definitely will dive into that. But the Falcons are expected, this is according to our producer, Bo Morgan, to hire Charles London as their quarterback's coach. He is from Dunwoody, played running back at Duke, and has been coaching running backs for the Bears. Okay. So as we talk about our staff starting to fill out and how this thing's going to look for Arthur Smith, that apparently, that news is coming down. So, again,
he was a running backs coach, by the way, also sorry to cut you off, Carl, with the Texans.
Okay.
So he's 46. He's black, by the way, for those that are wondering. I'm just after our conversation about assistants. So, yeah, we're putting our staff together.
I think Arthur Smith's going to hire, you know, a diverse staff. I'm not.
I don't care what color, as long as they're are good. But I do think, again, Arthur.
We're talking about just the higher. Right. Bigger picture of the NFL, and
right.
Now you've gone through three different cycles here since 2018 where you've seen guys left out of the picture, and you just kind of wonder what the deal is. And I don't know where the Texans are going to go. I have no idea where they're going to go. So.
And again, one thing about Arthur Blank, you know, you can say when it comes to the Rooney rule, I mean, he does, you know, take it seriously. And, you know, certainly we hired an African-American general manager who, by the way, in a very short period of time, about 48 hours, really has impressed everybody with his comments and how he handled his business so far. So now we got to go do the work. Did about 5 mock drafts last night, Carl.
Uh-oh.
We trade down. We could get everything we want. I mean, again, it's make-believe. Land, and I know that we don't have a combine this year, as D-Led pointed out yesterday from the AJC. Team's going to be just having to shuffle around everybody's pro days. But a man can dream, Carl, that you can get that. By the way, you do not have to go running back in the first round. If any of these mocks, and these mocks are pretty accurate, at least as far as the themes, you know, you'll pick up and you'll see the trends. Okay, well, there's a bulk of, there's a big group of a certain position later in the draft. I do believe, and everyone we've talked to has said, you can get a running back in the second or third round. You don't have to do it first. I know everybody wants Najee Harris. Everybody's prisoner of the moment, and he is a rock star. And everybody wants to get that next to, you know, Derrick Henry, but you can get a back later on.
If quarterbacks are at a premium in the first round, and I think they will be this year, then that even bodes better for us. So, you know, and I'm saying that whether we take a quarterback or not with the fourth overall pick, my point is I don't know if I do that either with a running back at four. When running backs have been taking that high, Mike, and we've seen it, you know, you talk about Adrian Peterson, some of these guys over the years, they have been difference makers. And if you feel that strongly, you have that kind of conviction about a particular player, then you do it. But I just think, you know, that quarterback's going to be a premium, and you're going to see a bunch of quarterbacks off the board in the first round. And the second and third rounds, you're going to have plenty of time to go get not only a star running back, I think, but also a guy that fits what you're trying to do, you know. So he said it, Arthur Smith, there's only one Derrick Henry. We're not going to find that guy. But there are at least 5 backs in this draft that I know right now that I would be willing to take, and I think they'd fit in perfectly with what we're doing.
A couple guys asking us, why don't they make it like the NCAA where Sark got hired while Bama was prepping? Yeah, but again, they didn't have a game. They had a brief respite, you know, between games. And I get what you're saying. The NFL has put this in place because coaches and staffs and owners don't like their other guys being messed with while they're preparing for the biggest games of the year.
Guy says, I don't want to make it racial, but obviously it's racial.
Hey, I'm just saying. No, because we had a bunch of guys like, why are we going to sign Raheem Morris? I go, look, I love Raheem. I'd like to have a beer with Raheem. You lose 5 games in a row, I don't care what color you are, you don't get to coach my football team.
Yeah,
That's it.
Not enough wins. Not enough wins there. That's a different conversation. All right, we got a big conversation for you guys all afternoon long. Find us, Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Podium Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929, this radio station, 929 the game. Chris is back today.
Chris says you're crying, by the way. Crying like a bee. You hear the music he's playing?
Yeah, whatever. I'm glad that you're back and that, you know, that exposure wasn't what we thought. So, Chris, good to have you back in the studio. Bo Morgan, executive producer. We're coming back. I want to talk about the Hawks when we come back. Did we find out something last night about our team? It's next. I think we learned something about our team last night. I'm talking about our Atlanta Hawks as they come back from 17 down. Mike and I are going to talk about it coming up in 15 minutes because we want to grab a guy, Mike, who knows about the Bills Mafia. Doesn't this guy have a great name, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, I just immediately think of like Joe Pesci and Casino because I always thought he was doing more of a Rochester, Buffalo, Western New York accent than a Chicago one. But Sal Capaccio, Bills Mafia from WG. What's up? What's going on? Are you guys going to kick?
Sal?
Are you going to kick some ass and shock the world on Sunday?
Man, you guys sound like I thought I was doing New York radio for a minute there. I'm down from Atlanta. I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely. I mean, we are loving it here. I really appreciate it. And I am I am Buffalo born and bred, guys, and nice. I left the area for a while. I lived down in Florida for like 16 years, and I came back here. I'm the only man in America who chose to leave Florida to come back to Buffalo, New York, by the way.
Well, good timing.
I've been back here for about 10 years, and, you know, I've been following this team since I was a kid, went through the Super Bowl years, went through the drought, and this is a really special time here, and now I'm experiencing it as a professional, not just on a personal fan level.
Well, it's a fun team to watch. Sal Capaccio joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's with the Bills Radio Network. And Sal, let's talk about heading into this weekend with what the Bills did defensively last week. I mean, they shut down the number two rushing team in the league. They made Lamar make throws he didn't want to make, and then obviously he made the big mistake. So going into this week, how do they repeat that performance, obviously against a much more difficult opponent?
Yeah, you know, we go back to week six against the Chiefs, and I thought they had a good game plan going into the game, and you're going to say, how is that possible when they allowed 245 yards? But, you know, the game plan was don't let Patrick Mahomes in the passing game beat you, and they didn't. And Tyreek Hill had three catches for 20 yards in that game, and Patrick Mahomes threw for only 225 yards, but he was efficient, and he hit like 21 of 26 passes. But, you know, the Bills just said, we're not going to give up the big play. They invited them to run, and they did. Against the Baltimore Ravens, the opposite. Hey, they said, we're not going to let them run. We're going to let Lamar Jackson run. You can throw all you want. We don't believe that you're a good enough passer to beat us. And that's the difference here between these two teams. Of course, as you guys know, the Chiefs have a counterpunch. You know, they can run and they can throw. So this is a much different test. I will say the Bills are a different team, though. They were a passive, less aggressive unit on defense back in week six. They were also missing Matt Milano, who is arguably their best defensive player. He does so much at the linebacker spot. I think they're going to be a little more aggressive in this game. I think they're going to pay a little more attention to the run, as well as trying to obviously shut down the pass.
It is Sal Capaccio, guys, from the Bills Radio Network. If you're just tuning in here on Dukes and Bill on the waitfor.com hotline. Speaking of the defense, we were talking about it. It's kind of like the Dolphins back in the day with a no-name defense. I mean, speedy. How are they getting it done defensively?
Sal?
Yeah, you there? I got you now.
Yeah. Sorry, right, we thought they whacked Sal. Yeah, how is the defense doing it, as we said, without like some name brands, but some of its parts?
You know, the defense overall, since Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier got here, as you guys know, they've been a very good unit, right? They were top two, top three in the league for a couple of years. Took a big dip this year in the first half of the season. But what happened was, I would say it's really time on task. You know, there's no preseason. There's no OTAs. There's no mini camp. You know, and then they had different parts in the front seven. They had Mario Addison and Quentin Jefferson and Vernon Butler come in, A.J. Klein. So I think it just took a little time for them. And this is a unit that really is more about the sum than it is the parts. You know, yes, they have a great player, Tre'Davious White. We all know that. But this is a team-oriented defense. That's what they preach. That's what they like to play. So they don't need the star players necessarily. But, of course, it helps to have them. I really like what they've done, though, their player development. Guys have really come around. A.J. Klein, they didn't know how to use him. He fills in for Matt Milano. He was a disaster the first couple weeks. Suddenly, he's incredible. He wins the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's having all these accolades. Then Milano comes back, and you're like, oh, maybe they could use both of them. And they actually ran more 4-3 last week against the Ravens to stop the run.
So, Josh Norman in the back half of that defense, what are they going to do to try to contain that receiving core? You talked about, you know, guys out of the backfield and how they did in that first game. But how much better is this secondary now overall, in your opinion? Did we lose him again?
Ah. Well, it is winter in Buffalo.
It is. And it's cold, too, by the way. I mean, I tell you what, Mike. One time, there's been to Buffalo a couple of different times, and it's also one of those cities that everybody has left to South Point. But right. I went, and literally, I want to say it was like 20 below or whatever, and the wind coming off. Boy, it was, I mean, like, they talk about it, but it gets damn cold.
No,
up there,
I've never been to a colder. I mean, Tony and I went up there for a Dolphins playoff game years ago. I think it was like the last playoff game they won, actually, because it was still like the old, you know, Andre Reed, Jim Kelly squad. But yeah, man, it's, I mean, like, they're Hardy fans, they certainly deserve it. I mean, they got an owner that's engaged now, and again, the moves that they've made. I'm curious to get. I know you're. I want to talk about, you know, what happened with Josh Allen, because the maturity, you know, the work that was put in. Hopefully we'll get Sal back here in a second. If not, we want to get the take. But imagine the time. You were talking about long suffering fans. I know we've had some great chokes in our history, but I mean, to go to what those guys have gone through. Sal, back on. You can hear us, bro.
Yeah, you got me. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what's going on here. I think everybody's so excited that people are burning tables in Buffalo and it's bleeding through the phone lines. I don't know what's going on.
I think Belichick is messing with you. The Patriots can't stand that you guys are there.
Hey, it's all good.
Yeah, you say it here in Buffalo, you joke around. People aren't. I think you're joking anyway. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, though. I'll go back to the question about the defense. So since Frazier McDermott have been here, the backbone of this defense has been the secondary. They've been great. And, you know, I would say that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, individually, they're not like the best safety in the league, but I think together they might be the best tandem in the league. They're terrific. They play off each other so well. They're so flexible. They disguise coverages so well. And, of course, Tre'Davious White's a first-team All-Pro. You know, but they pride themselves in not giving up the big play. And when they played in Week 6, they had Tre'Davious White essentially shadow Tyreek Hill the entire game. It was 3 catches for 20 yards is all he had. You know, they rotate on the other side between Josh Norman and Levi Wallace. You know, but that's probably like the weakest part of the four-part of secondary, but even then it's pretty good. And you guys saw what Taron Johnson did as a nickel corner. He's a good young player, had that pick six that swung the game against the Ravens.
Sal Capaccio's with us, guys, from the Bills Radio Network here on Deeks and Bell. And so here's the thing, Sal. We said when we were handicapping the draft years ago when Josh Allen was coming up, I go, look at that. We're like, come on. He's playing against lesser competition in that conference. He's not accurate. How blown away, like, I know he's beloved in Western New York, but how blown away were you by the maturity and the development and the way he's so much more accurate now than he was previously?
Yeah, it's great. It's pretty amazing, actually. You know, what I said about Josh Allen when he came in was, you know, people would really bang on his, you know, accuracy and completion percentage. And my thought always was, look, the Bills didn't draft him to be 70% completion guy. They drafted him to be probably 65%, and then he makes up for the other 5% with wild plays and the plays that other human beings simply can't make. But here we are, guys. He's a 70% completion guy, and he's still actually doing that, which is incredible. And I'd say I think that the rest of the league can take a page out of what the Bills did here. The Bills drafted a guy, Josh Allen, who didn't have that high-level training. He didn't go to the all Elite 11 camps. He didn't grow up with the football pedigree playing quarterback that a Sam Darnold did or other people did all the time. He was a JUCO transfer. He didn't get all these offers. He needed the reps. He needed to be groomed. That's what they did. They put him in his rookie year, probably earlier than they wanted to after the Nathan Peterman disaster. But you know what? They never. The biggest thing they did was, guys, they never allowed chaos or dysfunction around him. You look what happened in Cleveland with Mayfield and all the different coaches. You look what happened in New York and Darnold with all the different coaches. Josh never had that. Josh has had consistency with Brian Daboll and with his quarterbacks coach, Ken Dorsey, and with Sean McDermott. And he has not had dysfunction. He has not had chaos. And give him credit. He's really worked on his game, and he's a super competitor. And I think all of that speaks to where he is today.
I got to ask you about a guy that I wanted, a guy that people told me would be a dude. I want to get your opinion of Ed Oliver and what he's been for the Bills.
Ed Oliver is kind of a, I don't want to say a disappointment because I don't think he has been, but I think there are a lot of Bills fans who feel he hasn't lived up to his number nine draft status.
Yep. Right.
I agree he is a dude, but here's the thing about Ed Oliver. He is a much better player when he has a space eater like a Star Lotulelei next to him. And Star Lotulelei opted out of this season with the COVID situation. They don't have that guy. They are a lighter, smaller defensive front on purpose. The Bills like it. They're built on speed, and that's a guy like Ed Oliver. You know, they have Quentin Jefferson, Vernon Butler. But, you know, I think he's a penetrating type of defensive tackle. He needs a guy like that eating up a couple double teams to help him do that. And the stats just aren't there. I will say this, though. There is never any question about his motor, his hustle, his want to. I think all of that is there. The big plays just simply aren't there for Ed. But I think that's because teams can handle him a little more because they don't have to take on those bigger defensive tackles like a Star Lotulelei who's not there this year.
So we know about Sean McDermott. He's a fiery guy. We talk about the job Leslie Frazier is doing. Brian Daboll's got the SEC connection and obviously the Patriot connection. No worries about him leaving, right? Is Daboll going to be aggressive in this game? We're going to be swinging for the fences, see a couple of home run shots from Josh Allen in this game?
Yeah, guys, so here's the deal. You know, Brian Daboll's from here. I don't know if you know that he actually grew up in Buffalo. He's from Buffalo, and, you know, he's got a lot of connections here. He's really weaved his way through the coaching ranks. New England, he was down in with Nick Saban in Alabama, winning a national championship with Tua. You know, I really wanted him to get a head coaching job. He deserves it. He's worked his tail off in this league. And I believe, I really believe this. If the Buffalo Bills had lost Saturday to the Ravens, I think that Brian Daboll is the head coach of the Chargers today. But I think what happened was the Chargers didn't want to wait. And they interviewed a couple extra people. And the owner said, hey, I'm not waiting another week, another 2 weeks. What's the difference? I like this guy, Brandon Staley. And no disrespect to him. I'm sure, you know, he could be a fine coach. But I think that's what happened. And that was the situation Daboll was in where he kept winning. And it kept hurting him because then you have to wait on staff and things like that. We talked with him on Monday on the Zoom calls that they do. And, you know, he sounded I would say he sounded a bit like disappointed in the fact that it's gone this way. But he said the goal is ultimately one day to be a head coach. Sean McDermott said he's had conversations with him and he'll keep it private. And as soon as we heard this, a lot of people said, this Sunday is going to be the Brian Daboll revenge tour. He's going to try to light up 40 on the scoreboard to show why he should be a head coach and was passed up. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a chip on his shoulder this week. That's all I'm going to say. I think he's going to go into Sunday and say, I'm going to show everybody why I should have been hired for a head coach.
I know that there were only about 6,000 fans there, but man, it was loud. How many are they allowing in, or should I say, what will the Buffalo be like if the Bills are able to win and get back to a Super Bowl since the 90s, first time since the 90s? What will it be like there?
I've seen some people joking, I think, saying that this season for the Bills was, because of COVID and all the restrictions, God's way of making sure that when the Bills actually were good, we didn't tear down our city, right? That nobody could, go out and do anything, right? So I know, right? Because you guys know the way Bills Mafia is, and you see the viral videos, you see all the craziness and people jumping off rooftops and tables and burning things and stuff like that, burning themselves when they jump on the table. You know, that's not who Buffalo really is. That's the fringe of Bills Mafia that everybody sees. But we are our fan base, Bills Mafia. What they're really about is what you've seen, those donations and people and raising money to help charities and things like that. And even Lamar Jackson gets hurt in the game last week. And, Bills fans overnight started donating money to his charity because they wanted to make sure he was okay. And $350,000, in one day. It's amazing. And I only say that because I want to make sure people know that about, this city and what our connection is to this team. And if they go there, guys, you live in Atlanta. It's a much bigger city. We're not Atlanta. We're not New York. We're not Chicago. Our existence here is about our sports teams. We live and die with them, right? This is what we do. We are a college town when it comes to the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres and hockey and college basketball too, to a lesser degree. We love our sports teams and the connection that this team has to this city during this time when people needed a positive distraction has just been incredible.
Well, that's great stuff, man. It'd be a hell of a synergy in a way, a full circle for Buffalo to get down to Tampa and make up for Super Bowl 25 and get it done.
Yeah.
We don't really have any skin in the game, but after your conversation, a lot of our listeners will be pulling for the Bills, man. Best of luck.
All right, thanks, guys. Always appreciate it.
Good stuff. Bills Radio Network, Sal Capaccio. Capaccio!
Hey. As he said, he broke it down, Carl. They live for it up there. He's right.
They do. That's why it's so crazy to see that environment or be a part of that for a playoff experience. All right, we got plenty more to get to. Steelers sign a quarterback. What? You won't believe. NFL hirings continue, all right? And we'll tell you the latest on the Falcons. And I just saw a video of our general manager getting on, what's it called? Falcon 1, Mike? Is that right? Falcon 1?
Yes. Said Falcon 1. That's Arthur's jet. What's it to you?
He's on his way to the ATL to get rolling. We got a lot to get to, man. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. All right, there is a lot going on in and around the NFL. We got our NFL Blitz on the way, and we will dive deeper into a few things. But the Falcons apparently hired Lions special teams assistant Marquise Williams today as their special teams coordinator. Guys were asking me, and a big shout-out to Mr. Miller, who follows us on Twitter. Right. He was talking about Jeff Ulbrich, who was our former defensive coordinator. First, he was our linebackers coach, then started calling plays and all that with Dan Quinn when DQ was calling the defense, and then him and
Raheem Morris, yeah.
Raheem Morris, yeah. They were basically coexisting. He is going to become the new DC of the Jets. Robert Saleh announcing that today as he takes Mike LaFleur with him, Mike. And we talked about this. If he was going to get this job, there were rumors out there about him, bringing LaFleur. So this is Matt's brother, for those who are not familiar. They both have been around Kyle Shanahan for most of their careers. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, Matt's having the success with Green Bay, and Mike is now going to be the new OC for the Jets.
Hey, good gig. Now, here's the question. In that interview, and I got a lot of buddies that grew up in Long Island are big Jets fans. They're asking me, I don't know what Robert Saleh's interview went like. The Jets owners are clowns. The Johnsons have no idea what they're doing. So not really sure, Carl, what was said. I mean, we can fix Sam Darnold. We will move on from Sam Darnold. That's a culture. We talked about two cultures have to get changed. Urban Meyer is going to try in Jacksonville. Saleh will try in Jets. Every time they knock it out of the park with a draft, they lose the guys within 2 years because nobody wants to play for the organization. They got to change that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think Mike LaFleur may have a bigger part in making that decision, Mike. because it's going to be his offense. And what does he feel like he can win with Sam Darnold? And if he does, then you know what? The Jets improve in other areas, because you can get really good, obviously, in some other areas that you need improvement in.
I mean, Sam Darnold's only 23.
I know.
You know, that's the thing. You know, he's been enrolled early in USC. The guy's got 6 more touchdowns and interceptions. You know, can you fix this guy? You know, I mean, first off, can you build around him, get some more pieces? They've had some mediocre. I mean, like when Jamison Crowder is your best wide receiver, you got to get some better guys in there, right?
Yeah, I think so. This is what's going to make the draft really intriguing, to see how the Jets view that whole situation. And they're not going to play their hand before that. You know, even if they're thinking about trading Sam Darnold, remember what the Cardinals did a couple of years back with you know, the quarterback situation. They turned that into some more draft picks and then went and got another quarterback, even though they had drafted one just a year or two before. So we could see the same thing. And then we'll talk about the Eagles hire. This is curious to me. He's the former now offensive coordinator for the Colts, right? So he was working with Frank Reich. So obviously there's a connection there with Reich and Frank and the Eagles organization, because he was the guy that was the OC. But, Mike, I don't know if this is the guy that's going to take the Eagles over the top. You know, there are reports out there, a good, solid candidate. But, you know, this is a team that apparently is built to go back to the Super Bowl or at least the playoffs. Is this the guy to do that? And you've got people around NFL circles questioning this hire now, saying, okay, it's not about his credentials. It's what we know about him as a coach. And this is not a guy that projects. You know, this is what you're thinking. It's not where you are. How do you project? It's sort of like our guy, right? Arthur Smith. Right. You talk to people. It's not what he is. It's he projects that he's going to be a really good coach, and these are the reasons why. That's not what you're hearing about this Eagles hire.
This dude has, you know, come up the same way. You know, you always see the same. When you go and you look up their bios on Wikipedia, you see the same stuff. You know, he was a, you know, as a young guy, he was a quality control coach, and eventually he was wide receivers. And then the last three seasons, he's been the OC for Frank Reich. And again, but this goes back to the same stuff we talk about with Bieniemy. You know, well, how much is it Frank Reich? How much is it this guy Sirianni? How much is it Bieniemy or Andy Reid? You know, it seems to me like Loria, the owner there, wanted to keep, obviously, the situation as it was with Carson Wentz. They were not going to move on from that. And Peterson's like, I can't really win with this guy. And that's what it was all about. So, again, maybe this guy told the owner what he wanted to hear. Again, only time will tell. But you could see the linkage, though, because he was part of a team which, you know, Reich was – and if you want to say Reich was the brains of the operation under Peterson, so be it. But they're pulling from that school of thought to get their offense back on track.
All right, more NFL conversation on the way. It's Dukes and Bell as we're trying to see how this Falcon staff is going to, you know, continue to fill out. And I get back to who's going to be our DC. You know, it's one of my big questions as we move forward, even though, we know that Arthur Smith's going to be calling the plays. What about on the defensive side? Let's talk about the Hawks last night, man. We've been talking about this. It was an overtime win. They come back from 17 points. Everybody around the league is talking about how, you know, dominant Clint Capela was last night. 26 points, 27 boards. It's not a misprint. 27 boards, 5 blocks. So you talk about dominating a game, Mike, and Clint Capela did that last night. But I don't want to get it twisted. If you watch this game, and I was watching, I was frustrated. I tweeted out a, you know, mad face last night because I was like, what's going on, man? This team just didn't seem like they were in rhythm. And then, boom. They got in rhythm in the fourth quarter, and then you had your closer. And I'm talking about Trey really take the game over and make the right decisions. Collins was great last night. But Trey, you know, for everything that I'm talking about Clint Capela, and this is who Clint Capela is, by the way. I said this. You can look up 15 points, 15 boards. You hadn't called a play for him all night. Trey, though, Mike, was making the plays late. He had 21 in the third quarter. 32 is what he finished with.
This is what we were looking for. Now, again, I saw what you were tweeting last night. I got busy on, we'll talk more about it in Guide Talk, a new show on HBO that was just creepy as hell, but I started binge-watching. So I watched the Hawks this morning on the DVR, and you watch and you say, okay, well, third quarter, Detroit outscores the Hawks, and the Hawks just bomb away in the fourth, force the overtime. Again, you're not 100%. We're still not even close to 100% with all the pieces that we've added. Those guys aren't there. DeAndre Hunter didn't play last night. But you talked about it. Capela doing his thing. You got Trey and John Collins combining for, what, 69 points. Trey taking big shots. John Collins with the defensive stop. Mike Conti, by the way, says the NBA says should have been an offensive foul, by the way, on Jeremy Grant at the end. They did those, you know, the two-minute reports that just came out. But to me, Carl, it's a bad Pistons team, but you come back from 17 and you show some heart and you actually show some flow in the half court too. You know, remember, we were talking about bad decisions earlier in some of these losses. We talked about bombs away early in the shot clock. I thought, you know, when guys were feeling it, they took the shots, but there was more of a rhythm last night.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Great win, because I definitely thought we were just going to blow that and not, you know, show up in the fourth quarter. But when you score 16 points in the second quarter, that was the issue. It just kind of put you behind the eight ball. And then they outscored them in the overtime. No Cam Reddish, no Hunter. So here's what I think we learned last night, and I've been waiting for this, but they just haven't played enough together.
Right.
These are your three. These three guys, and I'm talking about John Collins, Trey, and Capella, are your three guys that all your other complementary pieces are going to work around. Because Capella is what we call an energy guy. He just, you put him out there, and boom, you look up again, and he's made things happen. He's playing D, he's defending. And then you look at John Collins, Mike, and I got to say this. Collins has played well. Now, he hasn't been as consistent as we were talking about DeAndre Hunter, who was out last night, but 31-11 last night for John Collins. And I think Collins and Trey, for whatever differences they might have had a few weeks ago, that they are coming together. And I really believe those three guys, if you bring in now Bogey and Gallinari and all these other pieces that we're missing.
Again, guys aren't out there. You're right. Remember, guys, the bench accounted for 4 points last night, Carl.
Woo!
I mean, think about it. I mean, Chris was in my ear. 4 points from the bench last night. So you're doing all this without all your guys. You just mentioned it, man. The starter's stepping up. I mean, there's reason to be excited. We had that little dip. Maybe, Carl, as we said when it happened, a few months later, we can all laugh. They cleared the air, and now they're getting into a flow. And there's some nights when Trey can take it over, and some nights where Trey's going to be more of a distributor. But isn't that what all greats learn how to do?
So true. It really is. Good win last night for the Hawks. More coming up on that. When we come back, we'll dive into all this NFL news. Boy, when I'm going to read to you about the Eagles hire, all right, from a very good NFL source, I think you're going to say, wow, that maybe they made a mistake. It's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.